Aloha, everybody. I'm Rima.
I'm Jason.
And I'm Peg.
And this is Strange Indeed, a podcast dedicated to the show Lock and Key.
Today we're covering the fifth episode of season three called Siege.
Siege. Yeah. Before we get started into just our general thoughts and talk about the show, I wanted to just mention it's our five-year anniversary here at Strange Indeed.
Yeah, tomorrow. Right?
Yeah.
Tomorrow.
When this comes out, probably today. Yep. Tomorrow.
Yay! That's incredible. Congratulations.
Well, congrats on that, Rima.
Congrats to you.
Yeah, a part of it for the past two. I reached my 2 years with it, I think, like last week or 2 weeks ago. So it's kind of around the same time. That's crazy.
Happy anniversary to you, too. Hey, you got
seems
two.
Like it was just 2 years. Like, a few months ago.
Yeah, it's went by. So that's how awesome it's been.
Mm-hmm. And like 1.5 seasons of Stranger Things has passed since then. So
yeah, but just had to mark the occasion because I saw that popping up and I thought, oh my gosh, didn't think, I don't know, 5 years ago, I didn't even fathom having a podcast and didn't think that be here 5 years later. So,
well, yeah. So is there anything like surprising after this time of podcasting that you never would have expected?
I didn't know I'd love it as much as I do. Didn't know. I mean, it always sounded fun, but once I got started, I was like, I really love this, and I'm grateful to have the platform and that you gave the opportunity for us to have it and given us the exposure. I'm grateful for Sean for being there, for starting with me in the beginning. I'm grateful to have Paik today to keep it going because I really didn't know that I was going to be able to, and Paik stepped in and saved me.
Very good.
All good things.
Yeah, I'm glad you kept going when that happened, and it's been really cool to see you. This sounds so cliche, but grow as a podcaster. Like, you're always good, but you put your personality into it, and it makes it fun. But you're also really insightful about things, and you are really good at predicting things, and the most fun for me has been the shows that you guys both are just so into, and they're so good. Like, well, Dexter had its flaws, but I loved it so much more just listening to you guys, and it made me change how I podcasted after I listened to that. And then all the Mike Flanagan shows, those are my favorites of yours to listen to because you're so into it. And I love that you'll be like, hey, we'll go 3 hours if we need to, whatever it takes.
For better or worse. Maybe that's inflecting too much of my personality into the podcast. Sorry, guys.
I mean, you never would have believed that. If I used the time shift key, went back to Rima 5 years ago, guess what? You're going to be doing 3-hour podcasts.
And you're going to cry, you're going to have all kinds of feelings.
That's another thing I've sort of had more of an eye on is letting myself not just look at it with an eye, even though I'm not a filmmaker, I find myself looking at things from a writer's perspective and losing that part of the fan that just gets lost in it and doesn't think about the creation of it, but just how it makes you feel, you know? And so listening to you guys helps me remember that's what one of the things that's really great about watching all this stuff, letting it move you.
Wow. Thanks. That's really nice. But yeah, so thanks to all of our listeners because, you know, y'all make it super fun to be here as well. So appreciate all of you.
For sure.
So anyway, just wanted to mention that. So on to the show and why we actually gathered here tonight, not just to talk about that. So the fifth episode, there's what, 8? So we've only got a few more to go.
Three more.
It's I don't think I'm ready. I don't think it's hit me yet that we're almost at the end. What did you guys think about this week's episode? It was a short one. It felt like snap my fingers and it was over. What are your general thoughts? Whoever wants to go first.
About the length, I like when they... One thing I like about streaming is they don't have to be the exact same length like TV always was. They can make it the length that fits the story. So I'm totally cool with that. I was thinking as I was watching this that, Paik, last week you were saying we're halfway done and we still haven't gone anywhere with the Locke versus Demons plot. And then after this episode, I'm like, wow, it feels like it's about to be over. Yeah. They did it all in this short little
really
time.
Rushed.
Yeah. I thought it was really good. It was really fun, intense, and action-packed. Not too deep, but thrilling and good to see the family working together. And I like the twist of Dodge working with them. So I loved it.
Good. How about you, Paik?
I think we're kind of like in the weird opposite zone, because usually I enjoy something a lot more on the second watch. After my second watch, I hated this episode more. Like, it was weird.
Really? This is interesting. I don't think I've heard that opinion from you before, so I got to hear this.
Watching it the first time.
In your life?
Right. Yeah, watching it the first time, I was like, I've got some gripes, but overall, yeah, like what Jason said, it's really getting things moving that I was wanting. But, like, I don't know if it was just, like, a mood today or something, but rewatching it a second time and taking notes, I was like, I have so many complaints. Like,
oh, boy.
So, yeah, it's – I don't know. It was not my favorite episode at all.
All right.
It's just a lot of – so, yeah, we'll get into those things. But
I can't wait to start talking about our points, because I'm very intrigued by this differing opinion you seem to have this week.
Right. It's not usually – I was like – I don't think I like this episode. What's wrong with
me? I think it's, I know why this is happening, because it's 127 degrees in Texas. That's why.
Right. Oh, God. So it hasn't been too hot, because we've been having thunderstorms every day for the past week.
It's just California.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
So there's that.
We have two. I'm like, it's still raining. But yeah. Well, I think I had my usual complaints that I know I've been picking on the season a lot harder than I think I did the first two seasons. But I thought there were some things to like and enjoy, and, you know, some funny lines and interesting things and twists that happened that I know we'll talk about. I appreciated the shorter episode, because I think it allowed them to kind of trim that fat a little bit and just... Mm-hmm. Keep it moving, you know, and just get straight to it. So I did at least appreciate that. So, okay. Well, without further ado, let's go ahead and jump, because I got to figure out, I got to listen to Paik's points here. So I'm ready to start talking about our top three here. Paik, do you want to go first this week?
Because
I want to hear it.
Yeah, all three of my points, because at first I was like, do I want to get all my complaints out into one point? And I was like, no, because they play in all, like, all of the different storylines have their own. So I was like, all of my points, like, here's the good and bad about this thing. So, I'm going to start with my first point. Let's do Locks and Communication, which is a terrible spinoff of Parks and Rec. No, but yeah, just because there's good and there's bad. The good, I'm glad that we finally have more communication among the family members and them figuring out things that should have been kind of prevalent, or at least, like, finally, like, hey, instead of just, like, ignoring things or acting like everything's fine, let's actually question what's going on and talk it out real quick and see if we can figure out what's happening. I like that they did that, because that's always kind of been a complaint, is like, man, this family needs to talk to each other way more often than they do. So it starts, one of the things I did like, of course, Tyler, you know, after the memory key's been used on him and he's coming back, I like the line that he uses with Kinsey where he says, you know, I think that pain's always going to be with me. At least now I can understand it. I was like, good. I'm glad that he's not immediately regretful and mad that he remembers specifically telling Kinsey not to let him remember.
Like I'm done.
Right? How dare you?
How can we reverse this? Let's make another key.
I guess because he's realizing how miserable he was even without the memories. Like, it's still that darkness. Like he says, that pain's still going to be there. I might as well know why.
Yeah. And I like that too. But I was also like, yeah, duh. I mean, couldn't you have like realized that was going to happen? But okay, whatever.
Mm-hmm. And of course, then Nina comes in and then she's glad that Tyler remembers. Tyler's surprised that she now remembers magic. And there's this whole like catching up and everything real quick. And then once they realize that something's wrong, I like that they're communicating that, but it seems like, and maybe it was just very ham-fisted, the way that they just wanted us, the viewers, to be like, they're on to Bodhi or Dodge, you know, like, but like so much of it seemed very cartoonish to me. Like, I don't know, like when they're talking, like, you know, they're talking to Bodhi, they're at the time shift and like every word they're saying, they're like throwing these weird glances and smirks at each other. And it's like, you're being the most obvious I've ever seen. Like, yeah, Bodhi, that's so bad that you broke your Switch. And then they're like looking at each other and like, oh no, what do we do?
Yeah.
You're being as subtle as Dodge trying to pretend to be sweet little Bodhi. You know, if Dodge wasn't going to start thinking that maybe they're onto me, they made it very obvious. You know,
that's true.
Like, oh, Nina,
oh, cooking, oh, I don't know. Oh.
A quick little snack of tacos for Bodhi. And that whole just talking like, oh, yeah, everything's, nothing weird's going on here. Where's Kenzie? Why won't she get me the keys? Well, because she's showing Tyler the keys, but they're in the chest. I mean, she's doing things other than that. I don't know. You know, it was just very, I don't, the delivery.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it was directing to be like, they want us to realize that they're struggling to,
yeah,
you know, they're catching on to Bodhi, but they don't want him to know. But then I was like, I don't know. It felt very, like I said, cartoonish, well, and kind of,
yeah, when they like, overdo it like that, it makes it feel like they don't trust the audience to get it.
Right. Exactly.
So like they're calling us stupid.
and that's just, yeah, kind of how I,
but I was glad that, at least that Bodhi did, Bodhi Dodge did pick it up and go, all right, cut the bullshit. Like, it's clear that you know that something's wrong, so why are we bothering with a charade?
Exactly. Like, okay, let's just skip the next step, which is a whole other thing I'll get into later. Yeah, not funny talking about things that we mentioned last week or the week prior. Nina clearly, like, very flat out just, like, mentions that there's zero decay on the Dodge body. And I was like, oh, thanks for addressing my comment from last week. Lock and key, you always come through.
So they do, like, that, well, a lot. They, yeah, seem to predict what issues and questions we're going to have, and they address it. And right. I appreciate that.
So I was going to say, do either of you have any, like, major questions that you want to ask now in this episode so we,
yes,
can be sure to get them
throw
next week?
Into the void. Yeah.
Yeah, because they said, they answered what the hourglass is, that if, mm-hmm, you bring something from another time, it will disappear when that's gone. Although it's weird that Bodhi's body disappeared when that wasn't brought from another time.
Right.
So that's
so
a little
many questions.
Weird. Yeah. But anyway, that's what that's for. And I kind of thought that was what that was for, because the only time we saw it operate was when they brought something from another time, which was Dodge. But they confirmed it. But what I want to know still, And even though I don't know exactly what all those Roman numerals stand for, it just seems like it's good enough to know that you set the time that you want to go to and how much time you want to be there. I think that's what it's all about. But what I don't understand still is why, when you're back in time and you do stuff, it doesn't impact the future. And I think your theory is probably right, Paik, that it's like a little bubble or something. But I would, mm-hmm, like them to confirm that, and I hope they do.
Right.
Or explain what it is.
Mm-hmm.
But Duncan's on his honeymoon and the reception's bad, so.
Right.
You just get drips.
So we can only get voicemails from him at the most convenient times. Mm-hmm. but yeah, I do like, again, that the family is talking, because even they have like Bodhi's explanation and then, you know, Nina fills them in, but then they're still like, but you don't believe him? And it's like, he's been acting weird. Like, thank you. You know, mm-hmm, Jason had a whole point last week of like, that's not, you're acting very strange. And they even address it. It's just like, he's being very dodgy.
Yeah, he's so dodgy. What could it be? Dodgy dodge. I mean, yeah, they were saying, they kept talking around it, and they should have, it should have really come up. Well, you know how, like, a few months ago, a lot of people were being possessed by demons, and your boyfriend was possessed? Could it be something like that? You know, right. They weren't really like, they're like, what is it? And then, luckily, Kinsey figured out.
Yeah, Kinsey and so Tyler, cool. And I did love that. It's like, you get the callback from season one, a sock without a foot in it.
Yeah.
And he's like, and he did have the ghost key on him, and the door was wide open. I did talk to him. He's like, thank you for putting pieces together and being like, you know what? I'm pretty sure Dodge is possessing Bodhi's body, and Bodhi is a ghost floating around. Oh, there's the ice. We're confirmed. Good. You know? So I like that. But then they decide, and it's a whole different point. I will get to Dodge later. But, you know, they capture Dodge, figure him out. Her, it, them, they, we're going to Dodge. Figure Dodge out. It's like, yeah, no, we're not going to let you, you know, we don't believe you. And it's like, but now you can't put me through the ghost door. And then, like, the next scene, it's like, now you have the Harlequin chest open with Dodge completely unrestrained standing right there next to you. I was like, okay, guys, sure. I'm glad it works out for them, I guess. But I don't know. It doesn't seem like a good idea to trust Dodge that fast, even though they're still questioning him. They would very trusting. I was like, that's not realistic to me in a show about magical keys. So I guess I'm gonna have to get over it. that's like my biggest complaint with this episode. And I'll talk about it more in my goods and bads on Dodge later, but was just, I know they seem to make the transition from I'm evil, I want to take over the world to like, I will help you very fast and just expect us to be like, yeah, let's just roll with it.
I don't agree with you as much there because, well, if I say it, we'll start getting into that point. I'll just touch on it briefly.
They were in
a really bad position. So it wasn't like they were just hanging out and Dodge showed up and be like, hey, I'm a good guy now. It was like, hey, you're about to all die and maybe I can help you. All right, I guess, you know.
Yeah, they didn't have much of a choice other to trust. Maybe, but yeah. There's other things. But again, like I said, that point will come later. So yeah, so that was just kind of a quick one I just wanted to talk about. It's like, even though there were some weird things, it's mostly a positive that I really enjoyed that finally we just get some communication between the locks and let, instead of just things are weird, I don't know, let me brood about it for an episode. Like, no, let's talk things out, figure it out, and move forward. Yeah.
That has been a long time complaint. I think all of us have expressed at least one time during the podcast. It was like, can everyone just please group together and talk about what's going on? So I do appreciate that, you know, like you said, they finally did that. And then like, oh, hey, Uncle Duncan has a piece of information that might be useful. Let's reach out to him. Yes, it's his honeymoon. And, you know, but this is important. So we're going to do it anyway. So I'm glad that, yes, there were those efforts, you know? Yeah.
I mean, I think, my memory's horrible, so I could be wrong, but I think the show, it does do that. It's just inconsistent, you know? I think throughout the history of the show, they have talked to each other about things, because I feel like I've remembered being, oh, good, good. They're not, like, Carlton Cuse is correcting one of his mistakes from Lost. But then the next episode, they won't. So, anyway, I don't know. It seems like it's just inconsistent.
Yeah, and I think they kind of do it when it suits
them, the story.
Anyway, was great. Jason,
I don't like it as much anymore.
Well, one point in, I've ruined it for now.
That's a wrap. We're too bummed to finish out the podcast.
My first point is called possession tension. And I think the first half of the episode was about the tension of the family suspecting Bodhi is possessed or something's wrong with Bodhi, and Bodhi/Dodge wanting the keys and losing patience with them. And I like that tension. I think it works really well. It's shocking and scary to see someone who you loved and who was a sweet little boy possessed by this bad guy and saying, cut the shit, you know. It reminds me of Chucky from Child's Play, kind of. And there's that stretch of time where they all suspect that they know, but they're, you know, you don't know when they're going to reveal it. So it's kind of tense. It's like the moment between Dante and Sadiq in Walking Dead. But now that you've talked about it, I like that a little less because they were so obvious about it. But I was enjoying it in the moment. The downside is it's repetitive for the series where they go back to that well a lot. You know, that was the whole Gabe story. Gabe's possessed. Kinsey knows. Gabe doesn't know Kinsey knows, but Gabe suspects that Kinsey knows. It's the same thing. But they're good at making it tense and entertaining, at least for me. I like it. But it's making me kind of feel like, okay, maybe this is good that it's the last season if they just keep doing the same kind of things over and over again. But anyway, about the possession. So we start right off where we left Bodhi/Dodge catches Nina in his room, looking at Dodge's body under the bed. And she's like, what's it doing there? And he should say, I don't know, but he's like, I can explain, which is super sketchy. Like I don't know why you would do that. But then he mostly told the truth that he brought her back using the time shift key. But then it looks sketchy that he dragged her body under the bed and left it there for days because I knew you'd get mad at me. So she should have just said, I don't know. I do think it's great that she dragged the body under the bed because it seems like something a twisted little boy would do. Just shove the body under his bed. And then in that moment, I wasn't sure if Nina was buying his story. And she was, but it turns out she was not, which I was glad. She was just kind of playing it off. So that was a little bit subtle for me anyway. I wasn't sure if she was buying it. She seemed a little concerned, but then she goes back and goes, you know, there's something wrong. And then they're deliberating about it. Tyler, Nina, and Kinsey out in the near the clock, you know, Bodhi's acting crazy. And I'm like, dude, go somewhere behind a closed door. You're talking about right. someone who may be possessed by a demon. So that was tense for me, but it was, I don't know if I like that because I think the characters are being stupid. Then Kinsey figures it out, and that was good. It took a little long, but good. And then right when she realizes Bodhi's a ghost, there's that cold effect because he's there apparently, which made me think, if Bodhi's a ghost and he's in the house, why doesn't he just possess Dodge's body under that bed? Right? If he's in the house.
Do you have to come through the ghost door to be able to do that as a ghost?
No. I don't know.
Maybe not.
Yeah, I don't know. We don't know.
I don't know.
That's what I was thinking. And then Dodge's plan to break the switch and ask to fix it with the mending key so she can get access to all the keys. When he broke that switch in half, before I could even think, I was like, no, because
my soul hurt.
So Nico has one, my son. And I was thinking of him like doing that. And then when Bodhi goes, can we fix it? I was like, I don't think you're going to fix that, buddy. But then I forgot about the mending key and I'm a little slow on the uptick, but, that was an interesting plan. And then Nina diverts him into the kitchen and starts making the tacos. And then, I liked when she said, I'm sure Kinsey's just trying to help Tyler process it all, like what happened to Jackie. And Bodhi's like, his fault, by the way, under his breath. That was good. What was that? Nothing. And then I thought it was super creepy when she had her back to him and we see his hand pull out the knife. That was a good moment. And then he's like, enough of this bullshit. Give me the key. So, I don't know. My biggest complaint with all that in the moment anyway, was that it felt repetitive, but I think they do it really well. So I enjoyed it. That's my point about possession.
A lot of that going on. Great points. My first one was actually also about Bodhi, Dodge, whatever we're calling her in that moment. I was glad that they were starting to kind of finally figure out that something was going on. But the fact that it took a dead, and I'm saying in quotes, dead body. I know she's not fully dead, but her body is lying there.
Mostly dead.
Mostly dead. The sock without the foot, I guess, is under the bed. And I guess one of my biggest issues for this part anyway was the fact that they just left Bodhi in his room with a dead body. Like, they think.
Sit up here and think about what you've done about this corpse.
Sit here and look at it. And think about what you've done wrong. You're in timeout, mister.
Look at it.
Yeah. Look at it.
Rub your face in it. What? No, wait.
Bad boy.
But I'm like, at this time, yeah, Nina's definitely, like, something is off, and I don't think she was quite buying, or at least I hope not anyway, wasn't quite, like, she was like, okay, I'll take that, and you just stay in here and give me the key, and so she knew something was up, but I'm like, you just left your son, youngest child, in a room with a dead body, like, either move the damn thing, like, I don't know, throw it off the cliff, like they do all the dead bodies there, lock and key, or make him go to a different room, I don't know, it just... I'm like,
As soon as she started talking to the other kids, she knew. I mean, she didn't say, I think he's possessed, but she's like, don't go in there. He's in there. So I think she just wanted to get out of there, you know.
maybe. But it was just kind of bizarre. Like, you know, oh, you bad boy, hiding a dead body under your bed just so happens to be grounded. A demon that they fought for the last two seasons, you know, that... Nothing wrong here. And then when he breaks his switch, or she breaks his switch, you know, it's like they're still not even, you know, talking about any kind of consequences for the fight between him and Rufus. Like, oh, you broke your switch? Well, let's get that fixed for you. I would have been like, too damn bad. You know, there's consequences for your behavior. I threw it across the room
because I was mad at myself. Well, that was dumb, son.
Right. Yeah, don't do that. There's not a quick fix and throwing it in a mending cabinet or whatever. But I do
think...
Me
think I want to put my phone in there, though, and see if the battery life will kick back up to normal.
Quick charge.
Yeah.
Only.
Well, it's like only 80%, even if I charge it all the way up now, because I've had it for so long.
Uh-huh. Bummer. I'm going to make my Mac like brand new. That way I don't have to buy a new one.
Yeah, we need a cabinet where you put your Mac in and you get a brand new Mac out, like the latest version.
Yeah, just the latest version. Yeah.
I got a new key I'm going to make here. The upgrade key.
If anyone at Apple's listening, I wouldn't be mad about that, by the way, if something showed up at my doorstep. Just throwing that out there.
5-year anniversary, people. Come on.
Go fund me. But all in all, I do still, or was still finding it entertaining to see, you know, Bodhi as Dodge and the funny lines and how he was really able to kind of emote Dodge's behavior, his words, inflections, you know. And it was a little disturbing to hear some of the things he was saying or she was saying come out of his mouth. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh man, that's our sweet little Bodhi.
It's Jackson Robert Scott saying, bullshit.
I say, he must have just been having the best time.
Yeah, this like, is a great
I get
job.
To do this for a living. Can we take it? Can we do another take on that? Because I would, if I was a kid, I'd be like, I can get away with like cursing and doing all this bad behavior stuff. Sorry, I messed that one up. I need another. But
because I remember in third grade when you're 8, so Bodhi's like 12 or something, so he's a little older. Anyways, my friend, I said a bad word, and he's like, I'm going to tell your mother, and I just started crying. No, please don't tell her I said that.
Yeah, and you know, like his parent or someone is off scene, you know, a little bit, like, oh gosh, you know.
All these years of telling him not to do that. And he's getting paid too now.
Well, wait, he's getting paid, so it's fine now. If you're getting paid, son, it's fine.
Yeah.
That's the rule.
I mean, I wouldn't care, but I can imagine, you know, some folks might have a bit of a issue hearing their child speak like that, even though it's an acting job and that's what they're there to do. But still be like, oh, man, you know, that's pushing it. But anyway. He must be having a great, or have had a great time with that, I'm sure. I'll have to look to see if there's some interviews or something after we've wrapped to see if he's, you know, got an opinion on what that was like, because I'm sure it was fun for him. But with all that being said, I do think it was an interesting twist to see Dodge there take their side, because I was wondering, like, well, what would have happened and what would she have done had... You know, if he was able to just get the keys, was he just going to go? Was he going to or she going to try to keep them from Gideon so he couldn't get them? Because it sounds like, I mean, I believed her when she said, hey, I'm having a good time here. And he's totally like blowing my plans. Dodge is definitely always like very self-serving. So, I mean, I actually believed her, you know, when she's like, this isn't good. You know, this dude isn't someone you mess with. He's messing my plans up. He's going to ruin it for the entire world. And
Meat World.
Yeah. That was a strange word.
I love that. It's so funny.
You know, but I thought it was an interesting twist, and I was surprised by how quickly they decided to trust her after everything that they'd been through. But I think that they were also in a position to, what else were they going to do? And I did believe when she's like, do you think I want to be stuck in this body for the rest of my life? I mean, I wouldn't want to be stuck as a 12-year-old boy. I don't want to be back in that hot body.
Yeah.
Kick-ass work.
You look at the two. You're like, which one's going to be more fun in the long run? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, here's the thing. Like, basically, they had to go up against Gideon and his men. And if they didn't take Dodge up on her offer to join them, then they would have to also keep her captive somehow during that time. Mm-hmm. I guess they could have thrown her in the basement like they did one of the soldiers. And I'm like, do basements really, you can just lock someone down there like that? Is that common? I don't know. But so they would have had to, so they said, okay, she's offering to help and we don't have we can't keep her captive and fight them. But so they didn't give her the alpha key. They gave her the other key instead, the angel key. So I was okay with that. I mean, I do think, like, what I would ask, like, Kinsey asked, okay, are you going to promise to give Bodhi back? And she said, what you think I want to be in this body? But I would say, what do you want? Like, okay, mm-hmm. fine. Mm-hmm. I believe you don't like Gideon and you want him gone. I don't know if I believe you like our world. Maybe you just want to kill Gideon and take over his plan, merge the two worlds and you're in charge. Or what was Gabe doing last season? Gabe as Dodge. He was getting all these demons together to try to, I don't know, remember exactly, but probably rule over the world, right? And make us all slaves or something.
This version of Dodge was literally doing that like 2 days ago in their time span.
And so hopefully,
it's a weird switch to be like, yeah, just let me run free and everything's going to be fine.
I mean, they don't have much choice is my point, but hopefully even though it went unsaid, they might be thinking, okay, fine, I believe you that you're up against, you don't like Gideon and that you're going to help us in this moment, but then after that, we're going to have to deal with you. I think that's probably what they're thinking, you know, because they're going to know that she's not just going to be friendly after this, unless they're super stupid. Which they may be.
I mean, it's possible, just maybe a temporary truce, you know, until this is resolved. And then, okay, now we're going back to being enemies or whatever, you know, like the enemy of my enemy, you know, that whole thing. So,
my enemy? No.
All right, Paik, what's your next point?
I'll add on more to that. I like when we just coalesce.
Excellent.
Yeah, so I'll just kind of add on to Dodge and a lot of what's going on here. Again, good and bad. You're going back to the very beginning when Nina finds the body. I think it was, you know, quick thinking, at least from Dodge's part, to give a partially true lie.
Mm-hmm.
Just leaving out all the pieces that lead to, and now I'm Dodge in Bodhi's body, you know? And then having to, like, suck it up and act like a scolded kid and be like, I'm sorry, and hand the key over to his mom, you know? It's like, man, finally playing the role and once they're onto you.
Yeah, that was good.
And then talks to Gideon, and that's where we do first see that they're not on the same page. So yeah, they're not in the chest anymore. And we know that Dodge has seen that the keys are in the chest in the basement, and yet still goes, oh, I haven't found them yet, but I'll keep looking. So you see that he's stringing along Gideon already. So there is this, okay, Dodge has a separate plan, but that's when Gideon's like, well, I'm coming back later tonight. So you better, you know, figure it out. And then Dodge makes that quick decision to help the locks, I think, in that moment, but also is still really trying to get to the keys. Mm-hmm. And at first I was like, well, what's the point of that? You're going to help them defeat Gideon, or do you still want the keys for yourself? And so I was, you know, contemplating that throughout the episode. But then it was when Dodge does say really the only key that she's trying to get from the chest is the alpha key. She wants to take out Gideon.
I mean, if Dodge was really good, then, well, I'm second guessing myself as I'm having this thought. I was thinking that Bodhi could say, look, I just want to tell you guys I'm Dodge, but Gideon's coming over here. We need to work together. But then that would risk them just being like, fuck you. So right. Maybe not. But I think you can absolutely believe that she was against Gideon, because she's right. She did lie about where the keys were to Gideon. And then We saw over the course of the episode, she tried to stick the alpha key right in Gideon.
Yeah. Like that was kind of the plan then. If I can get the alpha key, I can take Gideon out of the equation, so that I guess Gideon's version of demons taking over the world is not the version that Dodge wants. But like I said, we still this Dodge that was Gabe. If you think of the timeline of where Bodhi pulled her from, like 2 days ago in this Dodge's time frame, was Gabe building this demon key to turn like everybody into demons and take over the world to control it for herself.
Yeah. I think Gabe's two main goals were to like demonize the whole world and also to make Kinsey fall in love with him.
Whichever comes first.
Yeah. Equally important.
So then it is final season. They've got, with this one, 4 episodes left. You've got to get us somewhere, but I don't know, just the whole Dodge being like, well, I'm going to take out Gideon and I'm going to work with them. It still felt kind of rushed and unearned. But I get the story with what they're wanting to do with that. And then the way that it goes, then it's like, okay, so, Dodge does help, just wants the alpha key to take out Gideon. I was like, well, then if Dodge has like this change of heart, but then is transported back to a separate timeline and isn't here anymore. So that's, if this is the end of Dodge's story, I'm like,
That's kind of annoyed with that. Wondered. It like, seems like it very well could be.
That's all we get. And what was the point? So I'm not sure, but talks to Gideon.
Yeah. They lost really Dodge came back, convinced them to let her help, and then failed and they lost. Which is interesting. I like that, especially when it would be great for a second to last episode, but you need to feel like the heroes are doomed before they come back for their final triumphant return.
You see, Gideon went through the closet and back to his mysterious forest door that shouldn't exist. I don't know. But all right. But yeah. So I think, again, just on all characters' accounts, there was like zero subtlety in this episode. Maybe like you point out that Nina would cut on pretty quickly and didn't say anything. I think you did make a point for that was a little more subtle. So I appreciate you pointing that out. But a lot of it, like I said, just them glancing at each other, or the way that Nina's talking with Bodhi / Dodge, or even Dodge just being like, well, the mending key's in the chest with all the other keys, right? In the basement, right? The keys in the basement that, I broke my switch at this conveniently time that I need it fixed. So let's go to the basement where there's keys in a chest, the mending key next to the other keys. Now keys, right? It's like, dude,
keys.
Yeah.
I wonder. Yeah. Like I'm trying to think, are they usually more subtle than this? I'm not actually sure, but if they're not, then would that be chalked up more to the writing or directing? And I suspect it would be more about the directing, right?
I think so.
Marisol Adler directed this one and also the next one. So we'll see if they're super unsubtle in the next one and then they start getting more subtle. What's her fault?
Who do we blame?
Blame somebody. It's not my fault.
Because then we get Dodge catching on pretty quick with Nina in the kitchen is because she's still, she's just acting so weird. And then I guess, Ellie calling her doesn't help. Dodge just kind of turns off the phone. Because at first I'm like, well, Ellie calls Nina all the time. They're friends. I was like, well, they did just have that, kerfuffle is a fun word, with Rufus just earlier. So Dodge is probably thinking, Rufus totally told his
tete-a-tete. Tete-a-tete. Mm-hmm. Is that same thing as a kerfuffle? I think so.
I don't know. I was trying to think of another word, but nah, it didn't get me.
Squabble, it's not as fun.
Rabble rousing. Yeah, so that's where Dodge just kind of gives up, threatens Nina with the knife, and then gets chained immediately. And so it's like how quick he went from just like, I'm going to kill you for the keys, choke me and kill your boy, to like, sorry, I actually want to help and you should trust me now. Dang, quick turn. But he likes Meat World. She likes Meat World.
I so think of Dodge as female because that's her chosen form when she's not trying to hide or pretend to be something else.
And yeah, I just tend to use whatever pronoun in the form that the Dodge is in
I know,
at the time.
But I'm also like, okay, it's a female in a male's body. So we've learned you call someone like that she.
True. Very true. But yeah, where was I? So yeah, so Alpha Key, once I got that kind of set, I was like, that's why Dodge wants the keys so badly, is it's not necessarily to gather all the keys, but it seems like she's really just focused on getting the Alpha Key to take out Gideon. Still, what the plan would be after Gideon was taken out, I don't know if you can trust her at that point. Still, like you said, but yeah, then the back and forth with Kinsey is a little weird after Kinsey kind of gets hurt and Dodge has the angel key, the wings, and takes Coffee away. I was like, I never thought Kinsey would ever be relieved to hear the words, it's okay, it's me, coming from Dodge. But she's going to choose to trust her. Gives the Alpha Key to Dodge, says, okay, you can take out Gideon. And then, yeah, we talked about that. Just, return that body to my brother.
I mean, the whole thing about Dodge, them, I feel like needing to trust Dodge was the one part of this episode that felt new to me. So that was one reason why I appreciated it. And we'll never see now, I guess, what would have happened if they would have defeated Gideon and then there was no hourglass timer and Dodge got to stick around. But I presume Dodge would have probably tried to kill them and take over the world,
Yeah,
and they would have known
she's
still do that.
A demon.
I think in this episode, it makes sense for them to make the decision they did to trust her, because it's all about the devil you know versus the devil you don't. They've dealt with Dodge for a while. They, maybe don't trust her, but it's like, well, we know how to deal with you and we know what you're about and we've defeated you before. We don't know about this Gideon guy, right? Mm-hmm. He seems,
That and also Gideon's trying to kill us and you're saying you want to help.
We could use the help.
You want to help beat him, and if we don't take you up on that, we're going to have to deal with you right now.
Mm-hmm. they talk Gideon into sparing Dodge's life, which is like, man, very bold of you to assume he's going to hold up that part of the deal.
That part I thought was dumb. If Gideon's a serious villain, then this isn't that kind of show. But he should have killed one or two of them to show them that he's serious. Mm-hmm. And then, you better do what you just said, or there's going to be more carnage here.
Right. Yeah, they're going inside to go towards the chest. Dodge / Bodhi has that little, wink at Tyler. It was like, I'm sure that's meant to convey, I have the Alpha Key. I'm going to do that play. But it just kind of ended up looking kind of weird. Tyler's even like, what? Okay. I don't know what's happening now. But yeah, and then, of course, the end there with the time shift and all of that, I'll talk about. Bodhi's body disappears with Dodge, which then I was like, well, that's very confusing. So what are we going to do now? Like,
so we're still going to get Layla de Oliveira, because maybe Bodhi's ghost will go into her.
Does Bodhi's ghost have to go into...
That has to be made right somehow.
The female Dodge body, and then son's gone through some changes.
Transition. Yeah, a very strange transition.
Different gender, way different age. It's we don't need to get into the specifics of how.
Then we're going to have to see Layla de Oliveira in, third grade, sitting there at a desk.
Like a 12-year-old
boy. Or sixth grader.
So I'm curious to see how they actually work all this out. It did leave me being like,
that's right.
I got to know what happens next with this, because
how do you fix this? That has to be what they do, that they're going to drag her body down and let Bodhi. Mm-hmm. Or,
I think.
Is Sam still out there? maybe Sam.
I think so. I think we've talked about that as far as we know. But
I mean, I would have thought if he was going to be a part of the story, they would have already shown him, given that Bodhi's ghost has been around. But maybe not. Yeah, you could be right.
Maybe the good thing is if that's what happens, then Bodhi's going to get some really great insight to what it's like being a woman, and it will make him more sensitive towards women. So I'm hoping for that for him.
He's already pretty sensitive, but yeah. No,
it'll only help him in the future.
It'll only help him, yeah. He can walk around and be old.
Be a little bit more empathetic. Like,
you assholes.
Like, yeah, cramps really suck. I get it. Yeah,
Man. Mom, can you talk to me about menstruation?
This is going to make for some, you know, like Rufus and Ellie will get it. They've been in the realm, but it's just like with Josh and Jamie, it's like, we're going to take a break. And Bodhi's going through something. Can we see how he's doing? No, you don't need to see him for a little bit.
Oh, his voice changed? Yes, it did. Got higher.
He's grown quite a lot. Grown some things.
Growth spurt.
We got way off track. I'm sorry.
We spent way too much time on that joke.
Yeah, way too. Oh, man.
It's like a half hour later.
get back on track.
We got like a full episode and a half, or you know, two episodes of Jackson Robert Scott pretending to be Dodge. So it might be fun to see Layla pretending to be Bodhi. That could be. Yeah, maybe we will get that. But yeah, that's kind of, just the point there is, yeah, just Dodge on the Locke side, but I still question, you know, a lot. And maybe we won't even get those answers anymore. That might be the end of Dodge. So
we don't know.
I don't know.
Maybe
it seems like they still haven't figured out how the time shift actually works, how to pinpoint to go to a specific place.
Yeah, I feel like we're still not clear on that at all. Again, I feel like we need Duncan leave another voicemail maybe and be like, okay, this is what those Roman numerals mean in this order or whatever.
You mind giving us a step-by-step, you know, instruction on how to do this? Just in case, you know, hypothetically, Bodhi's body was transported back into time and we don't know where it is now.
Let's say this should happen. What would our next steps be? Yeah. Just in case. Anyway, that was really good. Jason?
I want to talk about the whole face-off against Gideon, which I thought it was a good battle against Gideon and his men. Scary and tense, and, you know, I felt scared for the good guys, and kind of reminded me a little of the battle against Gabe/Dodge at the end of season 2. And it was a fun setup where we knew they picked some keys to use against Gideon, but we didn't know who got what, and so we got to see it revealed in the fight. They go to throw Bodhi through the ghost door first to separate his body from Dodge's ghost. So they were trying to find an alternative, you know, but then now we know how the plant key came in handy, because Gideon took it from Nina's room, and here it is. It's boarding up all the exits of the house. And then Bodhi convinces them to get, or Dodge convinces them to give her a key, but we don't know which one it is. Then Tyler's using the music box key to get one of the soldiers to run to the well house. Was it Coffee or Bolton? It was Bolton. Yeah. And I'm like, cool. They're using this freaking music box key. That was a complaint of mine, that they hadn't used it more when they needed to fight. So I was glad that they used it. Then Nina grabs Gideon with the chain key, but he rips it away because he's super strong. That was exciting. And he gets the key, like he keeps getting all the keys one by one, and then swats the music box out of Tyler's hand just before the soldier gets to the well house and it breaks. That was a cool moment. I mean, Tyler shouldn't have had it anywhere near him, but still, it was like, oh no, we thought, you know, just when you, like, there's a whole bunch of moments where you just think something's going to go well and then something happens bad. It's really exciting for me. And then Tyler, the moment with Tyler, he went up against Gideon. He says, I don't care what you do to me. I'm not telling you where the keys are. And Gideon's like, what if I made you watch while I burn your family alive? Would that change your mind? And Tyler had this expression in that moment that reminded me of Tyler in the comics for some reason. I don't know. Because his whole look is way different, but I felt like the spirit of Tyler from the comics came through there. And did Gideon like cut his arm or something? He injured his arm.
Slashed him hard with a knife. Okay. Yeah, oh, got him good.
Kinsey's wearing the Hercules belt, facing off against Coffee, who's a creepy guy commenting on how women. What did he say?
Women knew their place.
Where I came from, women knew their place.
Yeah, whatever. That seems kind of cliched or whatever. Then he dodges a swing of hers and just plucks the key from the belt. Whoops. And she's injured too. And then he's like, have you got more keys on you? And he pulls out a knife. I bet you do. And I was like, geez, things went downhill really fast, which I think is pretty great for the drama. But then Bodhi/Dodge busts through the window wearing the angel wings. So, oh, now we know. And then starts whacking the guy with the wings, which was fun to watch. It reminded me of Angel from the X-Men. And then he goes all BRB and flies him outside towards the well house. That was awesome. Funny. And this will only hurt a little. And then tosses him through and disintegrates with a scream like that. Dodge got the best moment of the whole battle and actually helped them turn things around. Yeah. So it turned out to be a good decision so far anyway, to let her join them. Have we seen an Echo go through the well house door before? We knew that it would kill them, but I can't remember if we've actually seen it happen.
Might be the first time we've actually seen it happen.
Yeah,
I think that's the first. It's pretty cool.
That was cool. Then Nina pushes Bolton down the stairs and in the basement that you can lock from the outside. And Dodge Bodhi's flying outside talking to Nina on the balcony and gets shot. And I jumped at that moment.
I did too. I was like, wait, what just happened?
I was like, oh, my computer's like falling off my lap. Then Gideon's about to kill Bodhi/Dodge. Tyler offers him the Harlequin key. And I'm like, what's the plan here? The plan is give him all the keys, which I guess they were desperate. Yeah. He opens it and you see all the keys laid out and he gathers them all in his hand and starts opening his portal, and then we get one more tense moment, but it was pretty clear it was going to happen because you see the hourglass too, but where Bodhi/Dodge is coming up behind him with the elf key and then disappears right at the worst moment, and then he just picks up that one last key that he needed. So I know I just like narrated what happened. I need to figure out a better way to make talking about these fights interesting. Hopefully it was interesting for you guys, but
bothered by this time shit, like the sand where it's like it's gone, like it's like not even halfway done after what he's been there for like 2 days, and then a whole other like half of it was gone in like 2 minutes.
Yeah, just in time to hear the voicemail and get down the stairs and poof, you know, all
what happened.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Yeah. And then he says the end of the world is upon us and everything's shaking and Ellie and Rufus are coming. I guess they're going to Key House because Rufus told Ellie finally what was up. And what was that? And then the family's just running away from the house. And that was a crazy place to end it from. It's like, oh, shit. It's like, what? Now what? And I wonder, Dodge's body's still in there, right? So I don't know if that will have an impact on what's about to happen.
I don't think they moved it because one of the echoes, I can't remember which one, was like, oh, hey, there's a pretty dead
probably
girl.
Coffee, yeah.
Found a dead girl. Oh, that's totally normal and fine. Keep looking for keys.
Yeah.
That
was another. Well, she's got any keys on her. Move along.
Was that did we ever talk about that? We had the question whether the body would decay and they said no. Yeah, so that was good. Yeah. But maybe I also kind of wonder, because with Ellie and Rufus, basically their whole story was Ellie pushed Rufus to finally tell her what was going on and they headed off to Key House. And maybe Ellie, I'm trying to think, how are they going to get out of this? Like, it looks like the bad guy has all the keys. He's going to get to do what he wants to do and merge the two worlds. And I kind of wonder if maybe Ellie, having spent time in the demon world, might be part of the solution or the plot going forward. But I don't know.
Well, I was kind of confused because when that big bright blue light appeared after the crack happened and they all ran out of the house and she's looking at it as they're on their way, like, oh no. And I'm like, what do you mean? Oh no. What do you don't know what that means? How do you know what that means? I mean, I'm probably not good, obviously, but she just seemed to imply that she understood what that was. And I don't know if I verbalized it or not, because I know I've been thinking it and I can't remember what I've said on the podcast because I can't remember yesterday. But I remember at least thinking, if I didn't say it out loud, was, you know, Ellie hasn't served a whole lot of purpose this season. I mean, I'm glad she's back, but she hasn't really done anything, hasn't really served a lot of purpose. She's been very mopey.
Maybe that's another reason why I think she's going to have a bigger part.
Either that or I think she's going to die. Yeah, I think she's going to be sacrificed in some way or you know, something like that, and play some kind of part in ending all of this. Because like you said, and that's a really good point, I didn't think about that, that she's had this experience in this other world, and what did she gain anything or knowledge?
Maybe she got powers or something. There.
I don't know. Or, yeah, I don't know. Or something.
She survived in that demon world for however long.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't know. But I was confused. I was like, I was just confused by her reaction, because I was like, you seem to be acting like you know or understand or something what that means or what it is. But I don't know. Sorry, I interrupted you. Did you have more to say on that?
Who are you talking to? Me?
Yeah, you. That was your.
Oh, I forgot where we were.
Yeah, I don't even remember where we were now.
I'm done. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You didn't interrupt me.
Oh, sorry.
What? What's
apparently
going on?
I interrupted your thought process.
No, I was done. Really? I was done. Okay. That's why I was confused.
Okay. Sorry.
No problem.
Well, I just want to add to that, because my next point was also the siege. I don't have a lot to contribute because we've kind of talked a lot about already the events and with the fight, and I don't have a lot. I do think it was funny when you mentioned Tyler using the music box key on Coffee. I thought his walk was just the goofiest damn walk. It was quite entertaining to see the direction that this actor, I don't know if he was told to do it that way or if that's just what he thought. Well, this is how he would act if he's being controlled against his will.
Fight it or something.
You know, just the way that his shoulders are all stiff and he's walking like his thighs are together, but his like knees are apart, and he's like, I don't know, just shuffling the ass. I was just laughing my ass off when Rose was
That's funny.
Watching it. So, anyway, thought that was worth mentioning. But I just was so frustrated. You know, you mentioned, oh, it's good to see them to finally use the music box key. And I'm just like, I feel like so many things that they could have done, and I guess we wouldn't have a show or all this drama if it was that easy, if they just didn't do these things. But I'm so frustrated that I'm like, you have this whole trunk full of keys that could do all of these cool things. The keys that we haven't seen, but maybe once or twice, and maybe way back in season one. Could they have not used the snow globe key on Gideon when they started this siege? I don't think I know all the rules.
Just plug it in, and then like we hid the keys in a tree trunk outside. Go get them. And
yeah, they're
look.
Out there. Yeah, they're right here. I mean, I feel like there's. Oh well, no, it couldn't have been done
the snow globe key. Yeah, when you're inside Key House, then you have to be outside, and then you turn the key off. So you have to be inside when it's turned on, and then you go outside, and then
outside
if somebody turns
trapped.
It off, you're stuck. Yeah, so it would be maybe a little tricky to maneuver that, but could be worth a shot.
Well, and then why couldn't Tyler just use the music box key against Gideon instead of Coffee?
What if, you know what?
He tried.
What if you gave Gideon all the keys except for the snow globe key and said, okay, bye, and then you use
let
the snow globe key and let him go outside, and they're stuck
like the
there with all the keys.
What's the range of snow globe?
Yeah, well,
because everybody
as
in the world
outside.
Was outside of it, besides,
yeah.
You know, whatever, back when they use it. So where's the range?
Well, no, you have to be inside the house when it's used. And then
yeah, but
whole,
I'm saying, like, because you let him go and then use it, but it's like
then
he'd
use
still
it
have
to trap
be on property. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, just do it right away. But then again, he didn't even go outside when he started opening that portal, so my whole plan wouldn't work.
I don't know. I think just kind of disappointed that they had so many keys at their disposal. And I know that they did use some that, you know, Dodge used the angel wings and Kinsey had the Hercules key and Nina had the, I don't know what it's called, the lock and chain. And then Tyler
chain
had the
key.
Chain
yeah,
key.
Chain key.
Yeah,
thank you. And then Tyler had the music box key. But I'm like, you had so many, you know, things at your disposal and keys that we never, the fire key. use the fire key. Point.
They could have used more than one. Because when they fought Gabe and all his demons in season two, there were a lot more of them, and they still did better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's
I don't know.
Point.
And the echoes, which I guess it was also dangerous to maybe think about having too many keys on their person. We saw how easy it was for the echo to just pluck it right out of the Hercules belt from Kinsey. They don't have to be given permission. They can just take it from them. But they're not demons. They're not as strong. They're not, I mean, they're a threat because they can just take the keys, but they're not as strong. I would have tried to give everything I had at Gideon, and I just felt like they didn't utilize the keys enough with what they had. They weren't creative enough, and it was just kind of disappointing that that it went down that way. But again, we wouldn't have the drama. We wouldn't be here talking about it if it was just like, oh yep, that's it. So that's all that I really had to add to that. So just short and sweet, because we've already talked about the other stuff. Okay. Pake, back to you.
All right. Well, that's also kind of the last point they had was the siege and Gideon. And so anything that Jason didn't cover, then add to what you've covered. So mine will be shorter and, well, not as sweet, because I think the only things I have left are,
or
the only things I have left are maybe little complaints again, just like those little things. I'm like, why? But yeah, because we've talked about a lot of it. Gideon immediately just being like, you know, they're like, what about the boy? And it's like, I don't need him anymore. Kill him. You know, like that's even before, so you've run out your usefulness, Gideon already went in the plan of killing Dodge. Like, he's like, I don't care.
The one other thing I don't have any problem with that, but I like it.
Yeah, it's not a problem.
Even better, because last week I was like, well, we all were like, yeah, they're saying they're going to work together, Dodge and Gideon, but demons betray each other and they both betrayed each other.
Yeah, exactly. You're right. Yeah. So that one wasn't a complaint. That's more of just like, I did, you know, enjoy just kind of a note on that, just being like, getting to be like, I don't need Dodge anymore. That's fine. Mm-hmm. I did like, the well house thing with Volton and how like, but the music box, cause he, you know, Tyler tries to use it. He's like, Gideon, I want you to, and then he knocked it out of his hand and broke it. So he's like, oh, well, that didn't work. But then when it broke, it was like right when Volton was at like the threshold of the well house. And I liked his, the walk was funny, but I even liked his reaction of like, once he realized like the spell is gone, he's like, you know, he's like shivering and shaking himself off. Like, that was unpleasant. So yeah, the dead girl was kind of funny. He was like, that's not notable. Keep looking for the keys. Who cares about random dead girls in the house? That's normal. The one complaint I do have is when Nina using the chain key, why does it only wrap around Gideon's ankle? Like, we've seen anytime they use it, it's like immediately goes for the main body and wraps it up. They did that with Gabe. They did that with Bodhi earlier this episode. But
was
of course, with this
aim?
Time, it's like only goes around the ankle and he can just like pull it off. I was like, well.
Yeah, maybe she's not as good at using it. That's what my excuse is going to be. But they could have had that happen and just have him break out of it. That could have been exciting because he's supposed to be an uber demon, the most powerful, whatever. So we would have bought that.
Mm-hmm. And yes, we get coffee being carried off and thrown through the well house and is gone. I was like, well, bye bye forever. Unless, you know, in the next episode, Gideon decides to just take the echo key back to the well house and call him back again. Maybe
I wonder if you can do that.
I don't know. You get it one punch for each soul.
I would think because otherwise there's no big deal about it. You know, about
an echo of an echo of an echo.
hello.
Echo, echo.
So, yeah, I don't know what the rules are on that. Can he just go back and coffee, come back again? Sorry that it happened.
Coffee, no.
Yeah, and then the deal of Tyler, you know, Tyler strikes this deal with Gideon. Like, we'll give you all the keys, but you just have to let him go. He's like, I'll make that deal, but only if you take me there first. It's like, you're going to believe him? You're just going to, that there's any semblance of loyalty or honesty in that at all? You know, like, sure. No honor for Gideon, I don't think. Yeah, and then the portal is open, so it is an interesting place to end it, where I don't want to spoil things, but people who listen to our podcast might know, you know, it's very reminiscent of other things, where it's an odd kind of feeling of like, oh, they ended it with them losing here in the same way, you know, Gideon channeled his inner character Redacted spoiler redacted, show redacted. you know, but if you know, you know. That's really what it made me think of. I was like, well, this is interesting. We'll see. Do we get kind of this demon world spilling out over? Are we going to get a lot of that, or is they're going to be able to like take care of the threat and and fight it off?
Before I hope we get a lot of it. That'd be more interesting.
Bunch of little demon bullets.
Yeah, they just bunch of bullets fly out and land on the ground. Oh,
wow. Well, that didn't work out as well. Oh, crap. New plan. It happens to everyone. No,
back to the drawing
board. Plan B.
Yeah, because Dodge calls it Meat World, so it's like, do they not have like a meaty, you know, physical form, the demons? So, yeah, what does happen? It could be funny if it's just a bunch of like bullets fly out, don't hit anybody, and it's like, well. Well, I tried. All right, guys.
The most bold thing they could do is if the two worlds got merged and the next three episodes are just like some demon office comedy or something.
That would be hell on earth. It's like Office Space. Funny. Oh.
But yeah, that's all I had because, yeah, most all the other notes I had at that point we've talked about.
Okay. Very well. Jason?
I don't have another point. I have a few notes, so I'll just go over my notes now. Is that cool?
Yeah, it's cool.
Okay. So when Dodge tried to convince him that they should work together, she said, he's trying to merge our two worlds, ours and yours, and he needs the keys to do it, and said he wants to destroy this world. But I actually like Meat World. And so... we weren't exactly sure with the way Gideon described it, what would happen, but this gives a little more clarity. It's about merging the world and destroying this, our world. And, I don't know if that means humans would just be gone or if they would just have to live in this hellish demon world and be slaves or something, but it's a little clearer that it sounds like it just wipes out our world. You know, that's what it sounds like to me.
Just the first 5 minutes of the next episode, it wiping out the world. And then the rest of the three episodes, it's just a blank screen. <It's> like, this is what happened.
Blue. Bright, it's kind of cool. Light. Like a screensaver. Yeah. Blue. but I feel like Gideon's motivations are a bit thin. He seems to have a chip on his shoulder about humans and that's about it. But well, I guess he just wants to destroy the world. And I don't know if I believe that, well, I already talked about this, but that Dodge actually likes our world. I think so. I think I do believe that, though. But I think she would like to dominate it, not destroy it.
I don't think she wants to destroy it. I think she has a good time being a single demon because she, as a single demon, does kind of rule things. Now, she's not in charge, which felt like that's what maybe she was trying to do last season. But
yeah,
that's before that, you know, she you know, liked being in her position and being like the single demon and being the big kid on the block with Gideon around, you know, she's not that. And he would ruin what she had going. So,
yeah, I think she likes to be able to be in this world and be more powerful than everybody else in it and, you know,
yeah,
dominate.
But,
I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, you were talking about Gideon's motivations and, you know, I think he does just seem to want to conquer our world, but I'm like, why don't you just go home? If you were like a big wig there, why do you got to approach over here? But I also think that he has an issue with the locks because he doesn't seem to appreciate that they made these keys out of like demon bullets or whatever. Yeah. He's like,
he was like arrogance and stuff.
Yeah. I mean, he told Tyler, you know, with the keys, he's like that, you know, that doesn't belong to you. You know, he seems to think that they stole from them.
But he said something about the whole world is rightfully ours, too, I think. And when he talks about the locks, I feel like he's equating all humanity with the locks. Just the arrogance of humanity.
Yeah.
But they haven't been super clear on that. And then my only other note is when we first see Tyler just having used the memory key and he's still sort of in that recovery mode right after, like, whoa. I liked Kinsey's three questions. She said, are you okay first, which is a caring sister. Then do you remember everything? This is another case where she's asking that what I want to know. do you remember everything? And he said, yes. So then you don't regret it, do you? Which is that's what I wanted to know the most. And he gave the answer I wanted to hear. So that was good to just, and it all made sense for her to be asking those questions too, but they were also my questions. So I thought that was really good.
Agreed.
So that's all I have for this episode.
Well, my last point could probably just be more of notes, but it's more about, which we've kind of talked about, but I don't understand, and maybe we're not supposed to yet. Maybe we will. We've got three more episodes to go. Was the hourglass failsafe? You know, did it work like it was supposed to? Because why did Bodhi's body get swiped away, disappear, whatever, and not dodge? Wouldn't his body just get dropped and Dodge disappear if that was the case? Or is it because...
And Dodge's body too.
Yeah, and her body too. You why think. Did it... Yeah. Was it just because she was created occupying his glitch. Body? And
The failsafe is there, so there's not a paradox. And then it created a paradox by getting rid of Bodhi's body.
It reminds me... I'm not a programmer, but it reminds me of you wrote a program and then it's like, oh, crap, we didn't think about this case. We need to... update the program to cover what happens if somebody's possessed, you know.
Didn't think about this.
We need a patch.
Exactly. Because all the keys are just, well, you know, whatever the locks were thinking of when they made them.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know. I was kind of confused about that. If it was supposed to fix things, this fail safe and Dodge is there and shouldn't be, then why did Bodhi get swiped too? And wouldn't evidence of Dodge having been there, you know, be gone? And that would include, I think, her body. So, which I'm assuming her body was still there. And disappear. We don't know. I hope not, because I think it would be entertaining to.
Yeah.
If they swap the other way, but I don't know. I was just really confused about that. I don't know if we'll get more answers or if they're just going to be like, yeah, we're just going to not really explain that much and just kind of carry on with the story or not. But I don't know. I was just really confused about that.
It'll be an issue.
Yeah.
I'm okay if they don't necessarily explain it, but. They need to build some story off of Bodhi's ghost being floating around and his body's gone.
Yeah, I hope there's some really like creative stuff going, because I just thought of the worst way they could take care of it, that it would make sense, but I think it would be the most boring as the viewer. They could do that too. I didn't think about that. But maybe, because we don't know where Bodhi's ghost is, what if what did disappear was Bodhi's body, the spirit or essence, whatever, of Dodge, but then also Bodhi's ghost and Dodge's body. What if it just took everything back, resets it, and then what if we just get normal Bodhi reappearing by the time shift?
Yeah, that would be dumb.
That he was before he left at that initial time. That would cover all those bases and clear things up, but I think it would be the most boring and dumb way to do it.
But now that I just said the identity key, I think they could totally just do that, and that would all be just about as boring too.
Yeah, but that seems more likely.
Yeah. But they just have to get it from Gideon. So I bet you that is what they'll do. They'll have Bodhi's ghost possessed Dodge's body, and then they'll have some storyline happen, and then in the second to the last or last episode, they'll get the identity key back and turn Bodhi back into Bodhi.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they'll save the day.
I was going to say, yeah, with comic talk stuff, I didn't have anything, because it was like, well, this is all new with Gideon and all of that, but now that you said something, I might have had a thought. I was like, well, but that's kind of just a spoiler for comics. I don't know. We'll see. But it kind of made me think of something similarly. I don't know. We'll see. Vague.
That's Pate thinking out loud.
Yeah, pretty much exactly what that is. It's like, I might say something in comic talk, and then if you decide, that's too spoilery, then you can just take it out. But we'll see. We'll get there.
Okay. Sounds good.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an Orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and move into listener feedback. I got some good feedback this week. So, Paik, you want to kick us off?
All right. Let's see. First one comes from Kelly Burgess. Says, I did like how this episode moved the story along. I finally felt interested in this season. I had almost given up on it. There's still a lot of flaws with it, though. I'm anxious to hear what you all thought of it.
Pretty much the same thing. I mean, yep. That's
glad the story's moving along, but there's a lot of flaws. Yeah, that kind of sums it up.
Jason? My turn. Yes, Lindsay Schlick says, I like this episode much better. We finally have some story going on. I appreciate that Nina, Tyler, and Kinsey quickly figured out what was going on rather than taking an entire season to figure out what happened to Bodhi. I'm also glad Rufus told Ellie all what was going on. It's nice to see a show can get to the point and not treat their characters like morons. Meat World is hilarious. Does this mean the Dodge demon eats people? I don't think that necessarily means that. I just think that when demons are in their own, they don't necessarily have bodies or something, you know? They're like floating spirits. Like
pieces of meat to them.
Sacks of meat, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a guess, but
to be possessed, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. She goes on, Dodge as an ally is an interesting twist. I wasn't expecting. I love a good redemption arc, but I have to assume it won't go that far. Very curious. Yeah, I don't think so. Very curious how that storyline will resolve. So is Dodge Bodhi now back in that previous time? We don't know. We don't know. I mean, Duncan said when the hourglass runs out, anything that's not supposed to be there will vanish, poof, like it never existed. So it doesn't seem like they're going back to another time, but we don't know. The fight in the house was, honestly, it was rough. It looked like it was choreographed by Kinsey's movie Making Friends. That's so funny. I'm surprised a big crab didn't walk in, or a lobster. Nina being knocked out so easily, Kinsey having some kind of horribly messed up leg she can't walk on, but later is fine. Even the goofy music was back. I couldn't get through any of it without laughing. So is Vecna, Gideon, simply trying to end the world entirely or open a portal to his world? His motives are unclear to me. Dodge seems to think he wants to end Meat World entirely, but why? Won't he then disappear too? Maybe I missed something. That's a good question. Maybe we'll find out.
Yeah, hope so. That was good. Maria Lawson says, so where did Dodgy go then? When the hourglass ran out, are there two Bodhi bodies in the past now? Still not a huge fan of Gideon as the villain this season. I was actually hoping they were going to trap him in the snow globe somehow. Glad Tyler is back in the loop and people are actually communicating with each other. I really have no idea how this is all going to resolve, which has me ready to watch the next episode now. Agreed. That was great. We have a couple of voice messages. First one we have is from our good friend Megan. Let's see what she has to say. I know she's really been digging the show and excited about leaving feedback, so I'm anxious to hear from her.
Yeah, I'm glad she called in.
Hi, Rima and Paik and Jason. It's Megan Lehman. Jason, I'm so sorry. I think I thought you were just guesting for the first episode for some stupid reason. I didn't actually realize you were on for all the episodes, so I'm sorry I missed you last time I called in. Just a few quick things on this week's episode of Lock and Key. I thought Bodhi's acting was very enjoyable as Dodge turned friend instead of foe. That was kind of whiplash, but I thought it went well. And I don't know, it's like, is it Dodge kind of like in love with the locks? Like, you know, Tyler and Kinsey both had a relationship. It's a little creepy. But at any rate, yeah, Dodge was like, I like this world and I want to like be a hedonist here and not see it destroyed. I think maybe Dodge is being truthful about that. But then again, there's always a double cross at the end, right? So we'll see how that goes. If we get Bodhi Dodge back because of the poof at the end of the episode. And that was a pretty cool sinkhole, too, that opened up. I wanted to comment on something I thought was a little jarring and took me out of the last two episodes a few times. Like, weirdly clunky product placement. So last episode they had the Sprite and the Doritos, and then they spilled the Sprite on the floor. So the labels were shown very clearly a few times there. And then this episode we had a Nintendo Switch, which I think, like, showing this is a breakable product that you give to a kid and the kid can break it maybe is not the greatest storyline for selling a Switch. I don't know. Even with, you know, semi-demon powers. And I think we may have also seen an iPhone this episode, but I'm not sure. So I give kind of a little thumbs down to the product placement not being done particularly well. And then my big point on this episode, I was really surprised when they got all the keys and Demon Colonial Overlord, why can't I think of his name? He had them all together and, like, you know, shit started to go down. I was expecting that he would get all the keys and then nothing would happen, because why are we to assume that the locks have found every key in the house? They've been continuing to find new keys up until, say, a week ago in current plot line or less, right? So, I mean, I was like, oh, how convenient that they just happened to find the very last hidden key after 2 years that they had never found before, right before, oh, Gideon, yes, right before Gideon took possession of them. So that was a little surprising to me. And I assume he has to have all the keys because he has to get all of the Whispering Iron that's been released into this world, right? So that kind of made me sad. I was like, oh, I guess we're never going to find any new keys now. That's all over. That's a little sad and shows how we've progressed to, honestly, you know, almost the end of the series, which is really sad. So I'm still loving it. Absolutely loving your coverage. And the other thing is I want Kinsey's abs. I think that's all I have for this episode. Thanks, guys. Bye.
I don't.
It's great.
We don't know if he needs every key ever made. He has said, I need all the keys. It could just be that he needs a whole bunch of keys to have enough power, you know? And so he wants to get them all just to make sure he has enough power. That's my answer for that. Doesn't necessarily mean that no keys will ever be made or that they have found all the keys. And as far as the Switch goes, I'm sure that was not paid product placement, because no company would want to pay to see their product broken in half. It reminds me of the Hyundai that was in Walking Dead for the first couple of seasons. That was just perfectly shiny, clean in the zombie apocalypse.
Thou shalt never forget that car. Thanks, Megan. That was great.
It's Megan.
Appreciate great. Your voice message. Okay. Next voice message is from Jade.
Jade.
See what she has to say.
Aloha, Jason, Paik, and Rima. Yay, Tyler's back. It's about freaking time. Oh my gosh, Tyler's back. Second, was anyone else confused that Kinsey didn't know about the time shift key? For some reason, I took it for granted that she did. And it seemed like weird writing to me for some reason. Like, you would think that Nina or Duncan would have told her about it, but I don't know. I guess with all the wedding excitement, they just forgot. But it seems like it's too important of a key to just forget. So, I don't know. The writing in this episode seemed weird to me, like somewhat stilted. And we got a lot of moments with characters like blatantly explaining things. I don't know. This writing just stood out to me for some reason as being a little more clunky with the dialogue than usual. Mostly, I just want to talk about Bodhi. So the Bodhi Dodge thing, Bodhi was on a journey this episode that I just did not understand. And it took me a while to realize that the reason that Dodge is being so aggressive in the beginning is because he just wants the alpha key to stop Gideon. For some reason, the storytelling or the writing or the acting, I don't know, it all accumulated and it just came off as like kind of confusing. And I actually had to go back and rewatch that scene again where they chained up Bodhi and he was explaining who Gideon was to them. For some reason, I don't know, I glossed over it on the first watch. And then later when Dodge was suddenly shifting to be on the lock side and they had this really tender moment with Kinsey, I was like, wait, what? How did we get here? Like, the tonal shift was jarring, and I was like, wait, what am I watching? So I had to remember why Bodhi was so aggressive in the beginning, why, like, Dodge's Bodhi was just so angry, and I'm like, oh, okay, he just wants the key to kill Gideon. But if that's all he wants, you catch more flies with honey than vinegar, dude. And Dodge knows this. So I don't get the aggression, really, and his, like, feeble attempt at being Bodhi and blending in episode 4. I mean, episode 4 should have been called shallow cover or no cover, in my opinion, because, I mean, would Dodge really be so stupid just to straight up pull a knife on Nina and just threaten her? It seems like the quickest way to get everyone really suspicious of you and to end up in chains. And I get that it's more dramatic, but I couldn't stop questioning why Dodge would just make his own job harder to accomplish. I don't know. I'm not saying I expect Dodge to just, like, reveal the whole plan, but the way that it's written, Dodge just seemed really scattered and all over the place. And I was like, dude, what is your plan here? Like, how do you think this is going to go for you? You know, it's literally 3 against 1 and you're in a tiny child's body. So maybe be nice and explain the situation rather than just like, give me that fucking key. Sorry. But, you know, it was just, I don't know. It was like not methodical at all. And it's not consistent with the character of Dodge that I feel we've been given for 2 seasons. I think that this has a lot to do with the fact that Dodge is also a character who's been played by 3 extremely different actors over a long period of time. So as an audience member, I'm like constantly trying to latch on to, you know, who Dodge is and pin that down. But it seems like the Dodge rules keep changing and I'm just not following who the character is anymore. And granted, you know, for the actors and the writers over this amount of time with all the different acting, it's got to be difficult to maintain a consistent character thread. So, you know, yeah, Dodge has also definitely lost like all of their threatening power for me. I mean, bless Jackson Robert Scott's little heart, but it made me laugh every time he said something like, I'm going to kill your family. And I was like, oh, you're so cute. No, you won't. I'm also, yeah, it's the Dodge thing. I'm slightly confused what it is exactly Dodge wants. I feel like I'm always asking this question. At first, he's after the keys and like he's scarfing down food and being super grumpy and rude to everyone and like dissing Josh in public. And then when he meets Gideon, his objective switches to getting the Alpha Key to do away with Gideon. But to what end? You know, we do get the line where he says, I just want to enjoy Meat World in peace. And I like Meat World. So I'm like, okay, is that it? Is that what Dodge wants? Like a peaceful Meat World vacation? I don't know. I guess. But maybe it no longer makes a difference because Dodge has vanished? Question mark. So we shall see. The other thing I want to say is about Gideon, and I know that everyone's talking about how he's kind of a one-note, boring, like, mustache-twirling villain, but at least the guy follows through, you know, and he's an actual threat, and that excites me. I'm not a fan of violence in shows just for the sake of it, and I don't care for fight scenes, but I do appreciate that the danger is actual and quite abundant right now. The stakes are higher than ever before in the show, and it does make me care more. Like when Gideon just like whacks that music box right out of Tyler's hand, I was like, oh shit. And he's cutting his arm and I'm like, damn, okay. Like when he says, kill the boy, like I believe him. But this fight scene was kind of an example of how the good guys on this show can be like almost comedically bad at fighting the demons. I just kind of find myself laughing out loud when they're just so clumsy. It's like almost cartoony, like with Nina and the chain key. It was like Aaron and the maze all over again. It was kind of downright funny, you know? Like, and also, why would they choose Nina, a tiny little woman, to chain up Gideon? Why not give that job to Tyler and give Nina the music box? Or better yet, why not use the Hercules belt with the chain key? Because can I just say, the freaking chain key sucks. There is way too much faith put in that key. And I don't think I've ever actually seen it successfully do anything. So it's like the anti-helpful key. It is the opposite of helpful because it's only good if you are stronger than the demon you're chaining. So maybe we could learn this lesson, guys. Okay, that's it for this week, so I'll talk to you guys later. Bye!
Some good points.
A lot of good points.
Last week we talked a little bit about what Jade was talking about with Bodhi, possessed by Dodge, acting just so asshole-ish, and that probably won't help her accomplish her ends. And before, when Bodhi was, when Dodge was Gabe, and we didn't know that, Gabe was just this nice boyfriend, right? And so, yeah, I totally agree with you. And what I mentioned last week was, I think it's purely what the writers thought would be more entertaining, that Bodhi acting like a little asshole would be more fun to watch. And I had fun watching it, but
it is fun to watch.
It is inconsistent for sure. And then I also think, I mean, you had a lot of points, but I also think you're right about the stakes too. Like, not only about how Gideon, you can take his threat seriously, but also he's about to end the whole world. So that's definitely the biggest stakes we've had in the series so far.
Maybe we can write off the inconsistencies with character, with her being stuck in a hormonal teenage boy's body or something.
Yeah. Well, nobody was gay. She was gay before. He's hormonal.
Yeah. I'm just, you know, being an apologist here or something.
Yeah.
Trying to figure it out. So yeah, that was great.
It's inconsistent. Yeah. Thanks.
Thanks, Jade. Okay, last voice message of the evening is our good friend, Steve.
Hello, Strange Indeed. This is Steve, and you're right. There was so much content last couple of weeks, I completely forgot to even watch episode 4. So I finished the podcast, and then I listened to watched episode 4, and now I'm about to start episode 5. And wow, that episode 4, a lot of stuff in there, and can't wait to see what's going to happen with episode 5. All right. Here we go. Well, that's right, and he can explain the time shift key. They don't know how it works, and Uncle Duncan's on his honeymoon. So, I don't know. How is he? Because she's not supposed to exist. Bodhi is really word-salading this explanation. Ah, so he's lying to Gideon about not knowing where the keys are. What key is that Bodhi has on a string? Okay, this episode, the kid actor, what is his name, John Scott, is playing this very much differently than he had last episode. He's really trying to play Bodhi now. They're figuring out the sock without a foot in it. Okay, now he's getting less Bodhi-like. Scene in the kitchen with Nina. Oh, okay, it was the ghost key he had around his neck. So, the enemy of my enemy is my friend kind of thing. Meat world. Gideon used the plant key to cover the house in plants. And there's like 20 minutes left. It's a long time. Okay, well, Gideon just said to kill Bodhi, so he knows that Dodge isn't on his side anymore. Oh, no. Are they going to try to trick him into... Oh, wait, no. They're, music boxing him. Oh, of course, the music box breaks right before he enters the well house. Oh, did he just break her leg? That key should not be that easy to take out of the belt. Gave Dodge Bodhi the angel key, angel wings key. There it is. We've seen a ghost in the house. We see Bodhi right there over his mom. Get the strength key back first before you give him the alpha key. If it just goes poof, is that the body? Will the soul remain? What, Duncan, we're confused here. Oh, Bodhi just disappeared. And Gideon has all the keys now. Oh, right. Can't wait to hear you break this one down. And I can't watch episode 6 until I listen to your podcast.
Oh, the pressure. Oh. Thanks, Steve. That was great.
Always good.
Always good.
Yeah.
All right. So thank you, everyone, for the feedback. I love hearing from you guys, you know, week to week, and I appreciate your contributing. I know we're getting down to the wire with only 3 more episodes, so hope you guys stick with us to the end.
Yeah.
All right. So that leads us then into Comic Talk. Pick, you mentioned earlier you didn't really have anything for Comic Talk, but then you thought, well, maybe. So do you?
Yeah, I was just while talking things out loud, I'm like, oh, no. Yeah, so here's, while doing feedback, I was thinking about it and then looking on the document. Yeah, I didn't have anything because, like, Gideon and kind of that whole storyline is not in the comics at all. We've talked about this, that it was Dodge all the way through. And then so, you know, and then there still was the storyline of Dodge possessing the body of Bodhi. And so then I was thinking, well, in the comics, at least there is kind of a way of how Dodge and Bodhi are separated. That's different. Of course, they end up just having to kill Dodge and then that kills Bodhi. Mm. So we're left with the same issue in the comics of, well, and then even, you know, to the point where like Bodhi has a funeral and the body's cremated. And so there was like a, how do we bring Bodhi back? And so I was going to think, well, you know, how do they handle it in the comics? But then I realized we can still see that in the show. And then this is mildly spoiler. Maybe then I saw the episode title for next week and decided, nope, because I think they're going to do it next week. So I'm not going to talk about it now. And we can talk about it next week and okay. see how that lines up.
Good. Yeah, that's probably good to err on the side of not spoiling something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, cool. Well, I look forward to that, conversation and seeing how that plays out.
Yeah, and that'll be next week when we'll be covering season 3, episode 6, Freebird.
We are excited for
if
you to...
If you leave here tomorrow.
Feel free to break out into song. we're excited for you to follow us into Key House, but until then, you can follow us on Twitter at StrangeTCast.
You can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/StrangerTCast.
You can email us at StrangerThingsCastPod@gmail.com and can also find us on the TV Time app.
You can find our podcast, Strange Indeed, and a bunch of other podcasts that are great at podcastica.com. Go out and leave a review for Strange Indeed and all the other ones on Apple Podcast.
That's a good
thank
segue.
You in advance.
Yeah, thank you in advance. We were talking about it. We were talking about your contest and what's going on this week with mm-hmm. Podcastica and our newer podcast when we recorded House of the Dragon yesterday. So do you want to kind of talk about that just a little bit? What's going on with Podcastica sure. and our new shows and the contest you have?
Yeah, I'll try to say it succinctly, but we have a lot of shows that are on the podcast House Podcastica, but also split out into their own separate podcasts, because I thought people who were searching for those shows and trying to find a podcast on it would not download an aggregate podcast. They would go to a podcast that just has the show they're looking for. So I'm like, let's split them all out. But the problem is that most Podcastica fans just download House Podcastica, and so those individual shows aren't getting enough traction. And then when you go to Apple Podcasts and search for them, they don't come up in the results, or they're super way, way hundreds of podcasts down. So what we're asking, because what I read on Apple's site, is it's not just about leaving reviews and ratings, but it's about subscribing or following those podcasts and downloading some episodes and listening to them, which I haven't actually been mentioning lately, but listening to them too on there. So even if you don't use Apple Podcasts, the contest is meant also to help motivate people. If you go and follow 10 of our podcasts, you go search on Podcastica, then they will come up. Follow 10 of them, download a couple episodes, and then you go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/podcastica, and like all of those. I mean, like the post about it that I put up, the contest post, then you'll be entered to win a key that opens a portal to another dimension. No, I'm just kidding. you win a Podcastica t-shirt, a Here's Negan comic that tells his origin story. It's hardcover and unopened comic, and a poster that Kirk Manley drew of something from The Walking Dead. That's a lot. So where's a good place to go get all of that? I mean, I could send you the text that I put in the other show notes if you want to include it in the show notes.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Okay, so just look in the show notes and there'll be a version of what I just said if you feel like entering this contest and helping us get our podcasts out so people can hear them.
Dragoncast. Yeah.
That's the big one. Yeah, it's a shame. Rima and Kristen are putting so much and all the other guest hosts into our House of the Dragon podcast. They're freaking awesome. And when you search on House of the Dragon, there's no way anyone would ever find it by searching on it right now, which
we're
is
lost.
Just wrong.
We're lost in the weeds.
A lot of people are listening to it on House Podcastica, so I hope you guys don't feel like you're not reaching an audience. You are, but
I'm grateful. And I thank everyone in advance, even if House of the Dragon isn't your thing and you don't listen to that podcast, please go out and support all of the others. We have so many great hosts on Podcastica. Everyone's doing, you know, tireless work and a lot of effort and really love what they do. And it would mean a lot to me and to everyone. So thanks in advance for everyone that goes and does that.
Absolutely. I mean, there's great stuff that just needs that little help. I mean, Greg and Penny are doing an incredible job on the She-Hulk cast. Mm-hmm. Penny is also working with Anwen over on the cast of The Rings for The Rings of Power. Both have been phenomenal and great so far and definitely deserve some listen and support.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. And
more.
Yeah. And speaking of support, Paik, why don't you tell us a little bit about what you and Daphne have going on this week at Run for Your Lives? I think I know. I think I saw the post.
I was going to say, Rima, I know you're excited about this week.
Let's share.
Because you know here, and Jason even mentioned it at the very top of this episode, that you know we are big Mike Flanagan fans. So it's about time we get into the Flanagan verse a little bit over on Run for Your Lives. We are covering the 2016 film Hush. It is on Netflix. Starring Kate Siegel, directed by Mike Flanagan. It is about a deaf and mute writer who is kind of secluded out in a little house out in the countryside, out in the woods. And she has to fight for that life when a masked individual shows up and decides to just kind of torment and ultimately wants to kill her. And she's got to learn how to, you know, figure out how to fight back. And it's quite the kind of slasher thriller from the mind of Mike Flanagan. I really enjoy it. So, yeah, definitely, you know, give us your thoughts on that
I'm
one.
I'm really curious about
check
that.
Us out over on Run for Your Lives. Yeah.
I know we just mentioned a lot, but I also want to mention that my favorite show to podcast on, which I don't know how many people would guess if they didn't already know, is coming back in 2 days, and that's Cobra Kai. And it's coming back to Netflix, and me and Rima and Richard will be podcasting about that on Cobra Kai Cast, and also it'll be on House Podcastica, but you should download Cobra Kai Cast and follow it. if you're interested in that show. I'm so excited for that to come back.
Yeah, that boy, that one snuck up for sure.
I know. But I was like, wait, when's that coming back? Oh, 2 days. Oh,
now. Cool.
Yeah.
It would have been crazy to just like missed it. It had been released and we're just sitting around like.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Glad you were paying attention. Yeah. Everyone's already binged it and moved on.
It's on my calendar.
Yeah. Yeah. That's exciting too. So yeah, I hope everyone goes out. There's honestly something for everyone. You know, you'll definitely, you know, find something that you like and tell all your friends. Please and thank you.
You know, since we're going on and on and on, I also want to bring up, they announced that Great British Baking Show is coming back in September, and we're all super fucking busy. So I don't know. I hope that we have a chance somewhere to just like bring it up occasionally, at least maybe not regular coverage, but I'm going to be watching.
I mean, no matter what, I'm going to be watching. I don't know if we're going to have time to set aside. I know that we tried to make our episodes fairly quick, what, between 30 to 45 minutes, I think? Just quick.
We can't even do that this time, I don't think.
Yeah, I know. Well, we said we were going to do like, let's just do like 10 minutes. Well, that 10 minutes went out the door. So I don't think we're capable of just keeping it to like 10 minutes because we love it so much. There's so many great things to talk about.
That's why we're
not
on TikTok. We just can't keep it short.
I don't know how to do that. Yeah. 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 If everyone's seen the news, that's kind of where we're at with it. Maybe we'll try to throw in a couple minutes here and there, or at least give our thoughts or opinions, but we're definitely going to be watching and hope you guys watch along with us because it is a fantastic palate cleanser.
Yeah, it's a good pick me up.
Yeah, thanks for bringing that up.
All right, that is our show. Thanks so much for listening, everybody.
Until next time, I'm Rima.
I'm Jason.
And I'm Paik.
And Rebecca Joy Watson is strange indeed.
I like her middle name.